Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
Over 20 years ago, closer to 25, God brought into our lives an amazing man and woman that have walked together with Miss Amy and I year after year through good times, through challenging times. They've been right there for us. These are like our dearest friends. These two individuals, God has just fused our hearts together. I want to introduce to you Pastor David Briggs, together with his wife, Melta. There's very few people that you can call. Pastor David serves us, Nairobi Lighthouse Church, as a presbyter. He walks together with me. I can call him anytime, day or night, and I've done it several times. Challenges in my life, Pastor David will fly to where I am and stay with me, work with me, help me. He's really serving as an overseer together with Pastor Larry Stockstill of Nairobi Lighthouse Church. And it's so rare that we have opportunity to host them here. And I'm so honored today. I'm so blessed. And they love us. They love Miss Amy. Miss Amy gives you all of her love and greetings today. Oh, she wants to be here so badly. Listen up, everybody. No matter what this man is doing, if I text him or call him, he just drops everything and he'll just spend an hour with me on the phone. Miss Amy and I are walking through this health challenge that we're dealing with in her, Miss Amy's body. And Pastor David just prayed the most powerful prayer. I wrote it out word for word. And several times I've just stood by Miss Amy's bed, and I've read that prayer again and again to her. Many of you have not met Pastor David and Miss Melta, so I want you, Nairobi Lighthouse style,
well, let's give God the highest praise. Can we do that? Hallelujah. 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 I just want to say how much we love this church. Nairobi Lighthouse Church, this community of faith, these body of believers there. It's my home away from home. Mine and Melta's, and how much I appreciate so much. Let me just say this, guys. If you're a guest here at Nairobi Lighthouse, I want to just encourage you to come back and give the church a second chance. And what I mean by that is set under the ministry and the love and the word of God of Pastor Don and Amy and this amazing pastoral staff and these people here. Listen, they'll treat you so many ways, you're bound to like one of them. They will love you. I know that you'll be faithful if you're a guest and you have a home church. You'll be faithful to your church. But if you're looking for a home, if you're looking for a church, this is an incredible community of faith, a credible body of believers that care for one another and stand with each other. And I just want you to know it's a safe place to call home spiritually. Amen? So I just want to encourage you in that. I love this church so much. I'm so glad to be here. I could give you a homiletical exegesis and dissertation, ecclesiastical writ, and speak to you in diphthongs and hieroglyphics and cause it to permeate throughout your whole being and proliferate to the ends of the earth. Let us pray. Or I could just tell you some simple truth that'll set you free. Hallelujah. The Bible is so simple. Jesus was so profound in his simplicity that it's taken theologians years to confuse him for us. Huh? You know, a lot of people said, well, you know, if I could just see a miracle, I'd believe. Well, I thank God for miracles, and I stand in line for miracles. But you know what? I think of the story of Moses, and I said this first service, and I'll say it this one. Moses turned, and he saw the burning bush. He said, I must turn and see this great sight. And Moses walked up and said, who are you? The bush said, I am that I am. I'm God. Moses said, what do you want? The bush said, take off your shoes. The place you're standing is holy ground. Moses, taking off his shoes, said, what do you want of me? And the bush said, I want you to go set my people free. Moses said, show me a sign. Show me a sign. He'd been talking to a burning bush for 30 minutes. See, believers don't follow signs. Signs follow believers. Amen. And you have in you the faith of the living God. You have in you the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And I want you to know that when you go forth and you set your faith and you release your faith in the finished work of the cross and what Christ did, how many know that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith? Amen. In fact, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, being the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of its reality. But really, that's what faith is. That's not the definition of the word faith. The definition of the word faith is the word pistos, or pistos means a firm religious or a firm conviction that God told the truth. So that's the definition of faith, or believing God told the truth. Somebody say, I believe God told the truth. So believing that God told the truth is the substance of everything we hope for. And believing that God told the truth is the evidence of everything we do not see and the conviction of its reality. How many believe that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? No man comes to the Father, the place, but by me, the way. And how many believe that Jesus expressed God, the unseen intention of God, as a seen invent in the earth, and the Father sent Jesus, and Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen my Father, you've heard me, you've heard my Father, I and my Father are one. The words that I speak are the words of my Father, the deeds that I do are the deeds of my Father. How many believe that Jesus was an accurate expression of the Father? So you could really say it this way. You could say that God expressing himself accurately in Christ is the substance of everything you hope for. And God expressing himself accurately in Christ is the evidence of everything you don't see. And Jesus said about you and me, as the Father sent me, so send I you. You are a living expression of the Father. Jesus was the firstborn of many brethren. That means there's a secondborn, a thirdborn, a fourthborn. Pastor Don, I don't know which one I am, but I am one of the born ones. Amen. And so are you. And the earth rejoices at the revelation of the sons of God. So I want you to know that the gospel is living and it's true. And I know you know that, but I just wanted to testify. And when the Lord began to deal with me a little bit, and Pastor Don, I heard this, and I heard the Lord say about Nairobi Lighthouse Church, about you, Miss Amy, the staff, the pastors, the people, the leaders, the wonderful community of faith. And I heard the Lord say this, and I know the scriptures for all of us, but here's what the Lord said. He said, and I believe this is a rhema word for the church right now, a spoken word out of the written word of God for you. Isaiah 45:3 in the Message Bible says, God's message to his anointed. God just wanted to interrupt the goings on with a commercial advertisement from himself. God's making an announcement this morning. God's saying, Pastor Don, Pastor Amy, staff, Nairobi Lighthouse Church, believers of faith, this is my message to my anointed, to you, to NLC, whom he took by the hand to give the task of taming the nations. I believe God has given you the task, and you've taken it on in the commission of Christ in taming the nations. That simply means bring the people back in alignment with the kingdom of God. And he said, because you have always had in your heart the missions, you've always had in your heart giving, you have lived a journey, this church has lived a journey of being unselfish and giving and loving of others and stayed focused on the gospel. He said, whom he took by the hand to give the task. Pastor Don, NLC has the task of taming the nations. Because when you heard God say, ask of me and I'll give you the heathen or the nations for the inheritance, you said, God, we are asking right now, look upon us, fix your eyes upon us. We want to do that. God took you up on it. And he said, and of terrifying their kings. Now, that doesn't mean rebelling against government, but it says, listen, not being afraid, not being fearful, but bringing authority and leadership back in harmony with the purposes of the kingdom and terrifying the enemy and bringing it in line with the gospel and the cause of Christ. Converting people. How many know the devil gets all shook up when conversion comes to somebody? He gave them, and he's giving you, everybody say, free rein. There's two things that God's given you in this season, and that is free rein and no restrictions. It's not without a fight, but it's the fight of faith. And he has given them free rein. Everybody say, free rein and no restrictions. I don't want you to look at things that stand in front of you. I don't want you to call them restrictions. I want you to rename them opportunity. It says this is a restriction. This sickness is a restriction. No, it's an opportunity for God's divine health and healing. This restriction is poverty. No, it's an opportunity for the prosperity of the Lord to rain down itself on me. This restriction is depression to tear up your home. No, it's an opportunity for the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. Every restriction I am renaming today, opportunity. He said, he gave them free rein and no restrictions. I'll go ahead of you. Here's what God's announcing this morning. This is what I heard in my spirit. I had a lot of things I could preach. You know, I just, you know, give you 3 points in a poem, but I really believe the Lord put this in my heart. He said, God said, I'll go ahead of you, clearing and paving the road. He said, I'll go ahead of you, clearing and paving the road. In other words, I'll give you the strategic plan to get there. God says, I'll break down bronze city gates. When the gates say no, God says, I say yes. They said, we're closed. God kicks them, says, you're open. Everybody say, the gates are open. I'll smash padlocks and kick down barred entrances. In other words, they try to padlock you out. They try to padlock and lock you up and restrain you. God said, no, you don't have to do it. I've already established it. He said, I will kick down the bronze entrances. I will smash the padlocks. I'll lead you to buried treasures and secret caches of valuables. Everybody say resource. And said, this is confirmations that it is in fact, I, God, the God of Israel, who calls you by your name. And I believe with all of my heart that this is a season for this church, for Africa. Listen, it's not just like people think, oh, let's go to Africa and do missions work for that dark continent. Listen, Africa is not a dark continent. It's a rich continent full of resource and intelligence and anointing and people who have served since the first days of the church, from Tertullian, one of the church fathers, till now. And God said, in this season, Pastor Don, this church is going to have an established in it a wealth consciousness, that God is moving you into a season of being a wealth center. When I say wealth, I'm not just talking about, you know, a pocket full of money, a Mercedes and a Rolex watch. I'm talking about the wealth place that is a moist place, that is a fertile place. In fact, the Bible says, how many will believe the Bible? The Bible says in Psalm 112, verse 3, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. And that word wealth means, you know, wealth, riches, substance, sufficiency, enough. But it goes on to say in Psalm 35, 27, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause, because you have favored the cause of the Lord, not your own cause. He said, because you favored my cause, let them say continually. That word continually means continuity. Keep saying it the same way, the same time, over and over and over. Sometimes you got to say it enough till you start believing it yourself. And he said, I want them to say continually, when you rise up in the morning to get your tea, I want you to say, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And that word prosperity is the word shalom, which is like sozo, it's salvation. It's a complete word that means everything, spirit, soul, and body that you need to be whole and happy. Other people might not love you, but God is crazy about you. God loves you. Other people might reject you, but don't worry about that. God accepts you. You're accepted in the beloved. And because you have favored his righteous cause, and because you've come in union with him, God said, I'm going to stand up and do some things myself just for you, because I'm going to take some pleasure in what you have decided to do and be. In the early 70s, there was a move of God in Africa. You study historically, that was through the northern parts of South Africa, up through Congo, Tanzania, up to East Africa here. An incredible move of God. And so much so that missiologists, that's these theological missions historical experts, said there's coming a day that there will be a reverse flow in the missions of the world. It said there's coming a day where out of Africa missions will flow. And we say the word mission, that's not really a biblical term. The biblical term for mission is apostolate, or the apostle, the sent one. Jesus was the chief apostle. He was sent by the Father, and Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Same anointing, same call, same grace, same favor. And he said, there's coming a reverse flow. So if you're wondering, well, I don't know that I qualify, I'm not a preacher. Listen, don't ever let your occupational environment define your spiritual prowess or define your giftedness in the Lord. You are not known by your gift. You're known by who you are in Christ. And some people say, well, my vocation is secular, or my vocation, what I do, is not spiritual. Listen, your occupational environment does not define you. The gifts and calling of God is without repentance. And that means if you're an apostle, then apostolate. If you're an elder, eld. If you're a deacon, deacon. If you're a pastor, pastor. Listen, it doesn't matter what God's called you to be. It can express itself in any environment or occupation that you find yourself landed in. And if you're faithful in that, God will manifest his glory and kingdom in that arena of life. Well, that almost make me want to shout. I had a lady one time in a prayer line. I don't spend a lot of time there, but I had a lady in a prayer line. She was kind of crying, and I knew she was nervous, Pastor Don. She was nervous. She wasn't really excited, you know. I walked over, and I said, ma'am, I said, what's wrong? She said, well, my husband said he's called to be a pastor, and it scares me because I don't know how to be a pastor's wife. I looked at her, and I said, you can't. You can't marry a gift or a calling. You can't marry an adjective or an adverb or a description. You marry a man. Now, their occupation or whatever they're called to be might kind of change some of the environment and what you do, but you don't, no more than you can marry a truck driver. You marry a man who happens to drive a truck. Don't minimize who you are and the calling of God in your life based on the definition of your occupation. You're going to miss the kingdom inside of you. We're all just sheep. We just have a bell around our neck. We make a certain sound, a voice for people to follow. We're not a bunch of goats. We go around saying, I know the Lord said this, but I know I should do this, but goats go around butting everything. We are sheep. We just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. And we have certain giftings and abilities, but you're not defined by those. You're defined by who you are in Christ, and who you are in Christ manifests through you what God wants to do. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I'm feeling better about myself. But I want you to understand in this move of God, God is creating a wealth. And wealth doesn't mean just money. It's not just a deity trick or a magical trick or something preachers do just to get your money in their pocket. No, wealth has an assignment. When God created the world, what did he create first? The earth or Adam? He created the earth because the earth was the environment of the richness of wealth that held all the resource to house the ability for Adam to do what he was called to do. If we're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, we do not own anything we can't take out of the earth. And the only thing we can take out of the earth is people. Our true inheritance is the people that we take to Christ, the people that we disciple, the people that we bring in harmony with the gospel. All we can do with resource, whether it's skill, ability, gift, calling, money, or whatever it is, if it's a resource, it can only be stewarded. It can only be managed, and it changes hands. God created the earth, and then in Psalm 2, verse 8, God gives his prayer request. God said, ask of me. That is a messianic psalm. It's a prophetic psalm that speaks to Christ, that speaks to the church. It speaks to the mission. It speaks to the vision of the fullness of the gospel in the kingdom. And he says, ask of me. Somebody just ask. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations. I'll give you the people. Tall people, short people, fat people, skinny people, pretty people, ugly people. God loves people. And while we call Jesus the treasure of heaven, God looks down and calls people the treasure of the earth. You are God's treasure. He wants people out of the earth. He just created the earth to be the resource to empower us to take care of the mission, and that is to get the inheritance. And so in Psalm 2, he said, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. So I need to learn to set my faith for people, not just for stuff. He said, God's prayer request, ask of me, and I will give you the heathen or the nations for your inheritance and the othermost parts of the earth for your possession. And if you look up that word earth, it means I will give you the land. I'll give you, somebody say the land. And what that means is God called the earth to a purpose. just as much as he's called you to a purpose. And the earth is waiting. See, look, resource has no soul. Resource takes on the soul of the person that possesses it. So whether your vision is to blow the world up or your vision is to save the world, money has no soul. Our resource has no soul. It will serve the committed soul of the person that owns it. And I feel like the devil's had it long enough. And so resource will never leave you neutral. All resource is directional. The love of money is the root of all evil, but money or resource is not the root of all evil. It's the unrestricted, unfocused, unclear purpose of resource that is evil. But if the purpose is right, just like you have a purpose and a call and a gift, the earth is waiting for someone to take ownership of it so it can yield its resource to the purpose for which it was created. That's why the Bible says the trees clap their hands and the mountains break forth with singing, because it says in Romans, it tells us that what happens is that the earth groans and travails for the revelation of the sons and daughters of God. That means the earth is waiting for ownership in somebody in the kingdom. And if they'll take ownership of that land, that means that God will release that land to its purpose. So the earth is excited. It's growing. You've got land around here that is groaning and yearning, and they see the revelation of the sons of God. And they said, oh, praise the Lord. You know what? For a while, we've been producing maize or corn, or maybe they put a bar or something there. But look, here comes the sons and daughters of God. Here comes redemption. Jesus bore a crown of thorns on his head for the redemption of the earth. Listen, he will make a new heavens and a new earth, just like we'll get a new body. But it's not just your pie in the sky and the sweet by and by, but it's your steak on the plate before it's too late. It's the ability to occupy and to cooperate with the purposes of the kingdom. And then, because salvation is, redemption is past, present, progressive, and future. I was saved, I am saved, I'm being saved, I will be saved. I was healed, I am healed, I'm being healed, I will be healed. Redemption goes from eternity future to eternity past. So while the earth will have its renovation, and while you will have a new body one day, right now you are occupying in the purposes of the kingdom, and the earth is waiting for some son of God or some daughter of God to realize whether it's their home, their plot, their business, or land corporately. Listen, there's some land back here that's starting to sing and rejoice. It said, if they take ownership over us, we're released to produce resource for the cause of the kingdom. Hallelujah. I got a little excited. I hope that's all right. But let me just hasten on. That's the way preachers say, let me hurry up. Let's go to Deuteronomy. So I want you to understand, just as much as you have purpose in the gospel, resource has purpose in the gospel. And I want you to know that that wealthy place, that moist place, that saturated place, that fertile place, wealth is cash depth, resources, riches are cash flow. When God took the children of Israel, and I'll say this quickly, when God took the children of Israel out of Egypt, just read the whole Bible. It's a good book. You'll enjoy it. It's got great stories. I love the Bible. But when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, God changed the GDP of two nations in 24 hours. They were a gathering of slaves. They spoiled Egypt. And when they came out, Egypt's GDP went down and Israel's GDP went up. So their wealth can transfer. And when they came out, they only didn't come out with resource and money. They came out with skills and abilities, callings. They were rich with depth and fertility. Everybody say he's talking about me right now. And when they came out, but all resource has an address on it. And I want you to know right now, resource has your address on it. Amen. All we have to do is find out how money moves, how resource moves, and it moves through surrender and direction and lordship. God said, I'll give you the earth for a possession to acquire the land so you can acquire the nations for me. So let me just say this in the last couple of seconds that I have here this morning. Verse 7 in Deuteronomy, it says, for the Lord thy God brings thee into a good land. Everybody say it's a good land. Then he goes on in verse 9 and he says, and the land wherewith ye shall eat bread without scarceness, ye shall not lack. Everybody say it's a land that doesn't lack. That property, I'm talking about that property behind you right now, or that your land. Listen, it said, verse 10 said, and when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land. Everybody say it's a good land that he has given you. Say he's already given it to us. See, in God's mind, you already have it. It's just a matter of you taking possession of what already God's already told you you can have. He said, so just be cautious that you don't forget the Lord during this process in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes or his covenant, which I command you this day. Lest when you have eaten and are full, when you get blessed and everything, you relax and you've built your good houses that you dwell in and you have your herds and your flocks and everybody. How many know that talks about your personal prosperity? He said, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bonds. In other words, God said, yes, I've blessed you. He said, you're not sick. You're not feeble. I feed you with manna. I've taken care of you. There's not one feeble among me. Your shoes didn't even wear out. And I will continue to bless you because my covenant is for you. What I've done in Christ is for you. And I'll continue to prosper you and meet your needs. But don't forget, as I'm doing that in your journey, that the resource of your life I'm giving you for the purposes of the kingdom. And there is a land crying out for you. And he said, listen, he said, I give you, don't say that you got this by your own hand. He said, for it is the Lord. Everybody say it is the Lord that gives you the power to get wealth. Folks, I want to tell you right now, that wealth is not just money. God wants to save your family. And you don't pay for that. Jesus paid for it. God wants to heal your sick. You don't pay for that. Jesus paid for it. God wants you to not be depressed. He wants you to be full of joy. Jesus paid for that. You don't have to pay for it. God wants you to be secured about going to heaven. All those things are a part of the covenant. And resource was designed to give you that freedom. And God bought that when he gave his son. Now he said, all I want you to do now is take the possession of the earth, and I want you to stretch forth your hand diligently, and you will rule. And he said, if you will release that resource through you, the land will rejoice because the land will fulfill its purpose. I believe there's a destiny on that property back there, and I believe the minute we release our hand to it, that wealth that God gives us to purchase it, there will be testimonies in heaven that will go on for ages because of the obedience of us to the kingdom.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.